Okay, so what we said yesterday, what we've been saying was that the Nefesh HaChayim had this question, that on the one hand, it says in the pasuk, Achor v'kedem tzartani, that you created me, Achor l'maisa b'reishis, as the first thing in maisa b'reishis and as the last thing in maisa b'reishis, right? We were created before everything in the neshama, but the guf was created the last. We are the highest elevated source of everything, and we're the lowest source existing in the creation. So are we highest or lowest? And the answer is both. He says, a great kasha. He asks a question. This question is in the Haggah. It's in the footnote at the end of chapter Hey, at the end of Parak Hey. And he asks a question like this. If you remember, it says in Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to have kinna b'maisa b'reishis. He didn't want to make Maisa Bresh is jealous. So the first day was Shemayim Va'aretz. Okay, so what did he create the second day? It says he created the sky, the Rakia. So what did he create the third day? On the ground. So that way everything's fair, right? Day number three was Shemayim. Day number four, Aretz. Day number five, day number four was the moon. Day number five was the fish. So now comes day number six. If he creates something in the Elyonim, in the Shemayim, then the land will be jealous. Extra day, not fair. If you create something in the land, so then the Shemayim will be jealous. So what did he create? He created Adam. Why? Because Adam has both. It's Shemayim and Aretz. So the question is very nice. There's Shemayim and Aretz, but where do we exist? We exist on the Aretz, not in the Shemayim. So now, not only did you create something that exists in the Aretz, in the ground, but you took a piece of Shemayim. You took a piece of Shemayim, and you went ahead and took a piece of Shemayim and made it in the Aretz. So not only you made something on the ground, right? But you also went ahead, and took something from Shemayim and brought it to the ground. It's even worse. So what do you mean that the sky won't be jealous? Of course the sky will be jealous. So it says the Prime Minister, no. Because he never removed the thing from the sky in the sky, from the sky. The neshama exists in Shemayim. And like we said before, it still exists in Shemayim. It's just pulled down from Shemayim, stretched out into our guf. So a man, a human being, is really both. It's Shemayim and Aretz. We have in us a piece of the Shemayim, of the heavenly forces, and then we, though, exist here. And everything we do controls and moves those heavenly strings above. And that's what he says, famously. He says that, like we said before, the go for the person is called Na'al, it's like a shoe. Right, because we're like the shoe for the neshama. The edge of the neshama, the foot of the neshama stretches down into the guf, and we're like the shoe. And that's what he says. It says, one of my favorite psukim. It says, Yaakov, chevel nachalaso. Yaakov, b'nei Yisrael, is the string of Hashem. So what does it mean, Yaakov is the string of Hashem? It means that just like a string, if you move it a little bit, this entire string moves. So the whole earth is on a string, and who's holding the bottom of the string? We are. If we move it a little bit, the whole Shemayim moves around. So we have the ability to move everything. Okay? This is what he says at the end of Sha'ar Hey, at the end of Perek Hey. At the end of Perek Vav, he has a long footnote here, at the end of Perek Vav. And basically, the concept of the footnote at the end of Perek Vav is that he just got finished saying that really we are comprised of all the kochos that exist in the entire Bria. That's what a person's made up of. So he says, are those only the kochos of Ra, of Tov, or even the kochos that exist of Ra, even the evil forces that exist? Is there a little bit of that in us as well, or only the forces of Tov exist within us? So he says, this is what changed after the chait of Adam HaRishon. And this is a famous piece, but he fleshes it out a lot. So he says that before the chait of Adam HaRishon, we were made up of all the forces of Tov in the Bria. And the forces of evil did not exist within man. The forces of evil existed outside of man. And they would have to convince man to leave himself and do an Avera. That was one level. However, after the Chait of the Nachash, what happened was that the Adam HaRishon brought in the kochos of evil into himself. And that's why that Chait led to Misa, led to death. Because what does death do? Essentially what death does is it puts the neshama back in Shemaim. It puts the guf of the person in the ground, and it goes through a purifying process until we take out all of this badness, all of this evil. And then when it's reunited in Tchias HaMesim, we're back perfect to the way we were before the Chait of Adam, that we have no evil within us. And he says, by the way, unbelievable pshat now. So he says, that's why immediately after the Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDaas, what does it say? It says, quick, get him out of here so that he doesn't eat from the Eitz HaChaim. Because if he eats from the Eitz HaChaim, Adam will live forever. So Reb Chaim Volozhin asks, so what? Hashem is a mativ. Hashem wants us to do everything good for us. Why wouldn't he want us to live forever? What's he afraid of? So let man live forever. She says, no, the problem is that now that a person has already evil within him, if they would live forever, they would never die. And death is the allows the person to go through their purifying process. If they never die, they would never be able to become purified 100% to a higher level. So it's not that death is a punishment. Death is is part of the purification process. That's why big tzaddikim don't have to go through that process of, it depends how perfect they are. Right? But some tzaddikim, Yaakov Avinu lomes. Yaakov Avinu never had to die. Eliyahu Navi was so perfect, he never had to die. And even the tzaddikim that die, but they don't have to become, they stay intact in the grave because they don't have to go through that level of perfection. They already, tzaddikim have that tahara. So anyway, so he explains that that's the concept of death, and that's the concept of the Eitz Hadas, and that's what was the difference between Adam HaRishon before the sin and Adam HaRishon after the sin. Okay, all right. Now let's go into. So that's actually a pretty famous concept, but the way he puts it down here is very, very beautiful. If you have a chance to look at that footnote at the end of Parak Vav, it's good to look through. Okay? Now, he goes into Parak Zion, and he basically sums up in Parak Zion, he sums up everything that he said so far. Okay, so he says in Parak Zion, he says, Va'ata, and now Mavura, Inyan Anava Parakei, it's clear what I've been saying the whole time, Sheha Adam Nikra HaNefesh, V'Nishmas HaChaim, that the Adam is the soul, Shal Ribe Rivavan Oilamais, of the entire planet, of all the Kochos in the Bria. Loi Nefesh, Kenefesh HaNosun, V'Davok Mamesh Pesetko V'Adam. It's a little bit different than the Nefesh of a person, but it's the power that exists behind everything that goes on in the galaxies and in the world. I'm skipping two paragraphs, and he says, "Ulazois, loy levado nitna mishpata bechira. Only we are given the power of bechira, of free will. Only mankind, lahatois atzmoi vesa olamois, that we can choose and tilt ourselves and the entire world leizitzada sheyachpoitz to whatever direction we go." And even if a person can end up destroying things, the destruction of the world, the yiridasam chas v'shalom, and bringing them down. But a person can always do tshuva. But when you do tshuva, you're not just fixing yourself. You're fixing everything that was nifkam, every problem that took place from your actions. Then he brings a beautiful pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim. We all know the pasuk. He says, "Hashem tzilcha ayad yiminecha." Right? We said that pasuk in Shir HaMalos. "Hashem tzilcha ayad yiminecha." Hashem is your shadow. So literally what it means is Hashem is your shadow, meaning it's always, he's always protecting you. He's always near you. But he says much deeper. It doesn't just mean Hashem is near you like a shadow. It's the opposite. A shadow follows the person, right? Wherever you walk, that's the shadow. So if you are walking south, so you're casting a shadow that direction. Wherever you are, you put up, you know, the number two, that's the shadow that you see. You put up three, you'll see a shadow of three. So he says, and this is what David HaMelech said, Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. What does that mean? The shadow of any item, the shadow of the person follows exactly the motions of the person. When the person is running, the shadow is running. When the person is standing still, the shadow is standing still. That a person, Hashem is indeed our shadow. If we put up the number two, then we will see the shadow of two. The amount that Hashem gives to the world is like a shadow. It's whatever the person does that ends up reflecting through the shadow onto the earth. So just like the shadow is only able to reflect onto the earth or to cast the shadow on the earth according to whatever the person is doing, so to Hashem is behaves to the world like a shadow to the people. Now, whatever mankind, however we behave, the way mankind behaves, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends his hashpa into the world like a shadow. And he says, this is the Medrash says it explicitly. V'zeu she'amru b'medrash amar l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Leich emor lehem, please go tell the Jewish people, Kishmi eke asher eke. Do you remember this in the beginning of Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem appears to Moshe and by the burning bush, and Hashem reveals to Moshe a new name of Hashem, the name of eke asher eke. I say it that way because it's Hashem's name, so you're not supposed to say it the real way it's said. So what does it mean? I will be the way I will be. What does that mean? It means kishem she'ata hove imi kach ani hove imcha. It means ani aya, I will be the way you will be. That's what it means. That's the name of Hashem that's reflecting. That name of Hashem means I will be the way you will be. If you are with me a certain way, that allows me to be mashpia back to you a certain way. V'chein Amar David, the Medrash says that's what the pasuk means. Hashem tzilcha ayad minecha, which means ma'u Hashem tzilcha kitzilcha, like a shade, a shadow. Ma tzilcha imata mesachek lo, when you're laughing at the shadow, who mesachek lo, it laughs back. Imata boicha, and if you cry, who boicha kenegdecha, he cries imata mar lo panim zuamos. If you're angry, it's the same thing. Hashem tzilcha. Hashem is the shadow. The way you behave with it, it behaves with you. Zohar, and this is emphasized in the Zohar, that it says, the Olam HaElyon, the upper worlds, are willing to give as much as the bottom worlds are willing to take. Okay, like we said, but what controls the top worlds depends on how much, you know, the hashpah is coming from the lower worlds. Okay, so this is basically the concept that he's been saying the whole time. That he sums up Perek Zayin. In the next like 3-4 prakim, he's going to go a little bit on a tangent. And we're not going to know where he's going with it until like all the way later, another few paraprakim. He's going to go into a whole entire discussion about the nature of the Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, you know, the Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash, they were on top of the Aron, there were the Kruvim, the children, angels with wings that were over the Aron. So what's the symbolism of that in the Beis HaMikdash? So he's going to basically tie all that into this whole topic, but remember, it's a fascinating discussion about the nature of the Kruvim We'll get into that. It's going to take another couple of days to flesh out his whole concept in the next few days, okay? I'll put up on the WhatsApp tomorrow. I have a wedding tomorrow, but I'm going to try to make sure that at 8:30 I can sneak out and give the class. So, but if I can't, I'll send out a message, okay? So let's assume that I'll be able to give the class tomorrow. Everything goes well. If there's a change in the schedule last minute, I'll send that on the chat, okay?
Thank you, Rabbi.
All right. Very good, everybody.